Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. With an eye on the presidential election, the Chicago-based theater group known as the Neo-Futurists began its fall season with 45 plays for America's First Ladies. Like so much of the rest of our culture these days, it's virtual and strings together a series of 1 to 5 minute short plays into a production that lasts about an hour and 40 minutes. 45 Plays tells some of the not-so-popular stories of First Ladies, from Martha to Melania, and also includes some of the nieces, daughters, and mistresses standing behind our presidents. Let's listen to a clip. This is First Lady Sarah Polk, portrayed here by Andy Patterson.
Maybe it's because someone decided to write, "All men are created equal." From the very beginning, we've been leaving people out. It was our destiny. But not Sarah. She was a force of nature. She never had children, and she hated housework. She wouldn't marry her husband until he won a seat in the House of Representatives. She became his campaign manager. One half of a 19th century power couple destined for greatness. Except she rejected the growing feminist movement. She replaced the White House servants with slaves. She advised her husband to expand into Mexico. Manifest destiny. There are women who have power and choose the status quo, manifest their destinies. But not all choices are created equal.
45 Plays for America's First Ladies is written by Chloe Johnston, Sharon Green, Ginevra Gallo-Baiades, Bilal Dardai, and Andy Baiades. It premiered October 8th and will be available for streaming until November 2nd. The production features ensemble members from Chicago, San Francisco, and New York. Joining us now to talk about this are Denise Yvette Cerna, director of 45 Plays for America's First Ladies. She's also the co-founder of Global Hive Laboratories, or do I say laboratories? I think I can describe it as a group that uses technology to create international theater events with an eye toward social justice. Denise, welcome to the 21st.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And we're also joined by Ida Cutler, a Chicago-based performer with the Neo-Futurists. She portrays a wide range of First Ladies, including Abigail Adams, Mary Todd Lincoln, and Pat Nixon. Ida, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you.
Listeners, if you've been missing the theater, we want to hear from you. The number to call is 800-222-9455. Or maybe you've thought about the role of First Lady, even the phrase First Lady. I mean, ladies, not good to use that term anymore in that context, but it's changed over time. Join the conversation. Give us a call at 800-222-9455. The number again is 800-222-9455. Denise, this is a companion piece in a way to the company's 43 plays for 43 presidents, first produced in 2004. How did the idea of creating this production about the First Ladies come about?
Well, it originated with the Neo-Futurists, the five playwrights that you listed a little while ago. They've actually been working on this show for over a year. There was a workshop production in California where they were able to workshop a version of the script in person in a different time. And I had actually never seen the president's play. You know, as a director, you come into a company, into a project, and you're sort of given the information and you go from there. So I knew that there were allusions to that play in ours. I knew that there were some images that had held over, but I actually hadn't really seen real clips of it until we started gathering stuff for press and some folks wanted to see some of that. And so my work on the play was, aside from the playwrights being available and sharing their process with us, my involvement came for the current version for the First Ladies as a stage show first, then rewritten for Zoom.
Well, yeah. Can you talk about that? So what can people expect to see? And how, what is your process like working on something that was meant for an audience, meant for a large physical space, and then being, you know, sort of rethought for webcam?
Mm-hmm. The playwrights were really great about rewriting scenes that required less interaction between the actors. So less of them touching, less of them sort of being in the same physical space. And that allowed us to do a lot of things from different camera angles and different shots and fake as though people were in the same place or match the aesthetic. A big thing that was important for me throughout was, even though we were doing 45 essentially short films in 45 different styles, we needed to, much like a play, have an overarching sonic identity, an overarching visual identity, something that would carry us through. So early on, I made calls to some artists that I really trust, designers that I really trust, who are not only theater practitioners, but active performance artists and active in Chicago's DIY performance art scene. And I said, please make this play with me. I know that you have the context in theater and the context in performance art to help us create short films, puppet shows, musical numbers, neo film noir, like all of these wild aesthetics, multidisciplinary, very tactile. And it happened, thankfully, you choose a good team and they're able to not only execute, but enhance the original concept that I came in with.
So Ida Cutler, can you talk about, from your perspective as an actor, what is it like creating and performing for something that is going to be consumed in a virtual way, you know, as opposed to what you might, I presume, be used to in more of before a live audience?
Yeah, that has been something that is new for me as someone who has been doing live theater for quite some time now, adapting it to this film medium, but while still trying to maintain some of that energy of the liveness, is like quite the challenge for this. But the good thing is that having done the Infinite Wrench and been a company member for such a long time, you really get good at this adaptability that was necessary for this moment as we transitioned into not being able to do live theater, just by the nature of, you know, already doing a show that changes every single week. This is, we talk about new artistic constraints, and this filming is one of those new artistic constraints. So I can go to it and think, okay, I know this is going to be filmed. What stories can I tell with this, and what have I not tried yet? So I definitely approach it from a big sense of experimentation with the form. And also, I think our audiences have a certain knowledge of us being some people who do live theater, that they're watching it knowing, you know, there's a little bit of a benefit of in that, and knowing that they're not coming to watch a fully produced movie, this DIY nature that Denise sort of touched on. That's what people are excited about, I think, in our audiences. If not, it's something new and different that they haven't seen. So it's kind of exciting to forge this new type of performance and pieces.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, the audience, it makes sense. They're primed one way if you're seeing a stage production adapted for the screen, as opposed to, you know, something that was native in the video format. Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the Neo-Futurists, a Chicago-based theater company. It's season opening work is 45 plays for America's First Ladies. We're speaking with the director, Denise Yvette Cerna, and Ida Cutler, who is one of the cast members. Denise, when you look at the lineup of First Ladies, these are mostly white, wealthy women, but that's not how the play was cast. Can you talk about that?
Yes. I am so excited that I get to be a director and that I get to have some influence over the rooms that we build. And both through the productions that I've been invited to and productions that I've produced on my own, it's been a challenge and an honor to build teams that are more than half made up of women of color, of queer people, of non-binary people. That's really important to me, partly because I'm those things, and I like working with people who I don't have to explain a lot of context to, right? Who understand what it is to move through this world in this particular intersectional identity. But then also, in particularly in historical pieces, much like another play I did a couple years ago about women in the French Revolution, we have these museum artifacts of these people, and they are, as you said, mostly all white or fashioned and styled in ways that don't represent the people that I see every day, the people who are part of my America, my United States. And so within the casting process, you know, I got tapes and resumes from the different NEO ensembles around the country. And my goal was to align sort of the not only the performers' identities, but also the different mediums in which they work. And sometimes those things talk to each other, like the particular identity I walk through the world in makes it that I make sort of fantastical things, or makes it that there's a lot of poetry or music in my work, because that's what I'm processing because of, you know, how I was raised and my culture. And so I wanted to bring together mostly brown people, honestly, mostly black and brown people. And I wanted us to take a place in history books. I wanted us to rewrite these things. And even if the text is about wealthy white, mostly wealthy white women, we were gonna take our place and we were gonna own it. We were gonna show how beautiful and powerful our bodies are when they are allowed to be part of the history of revolution throughout time. So it was like, who's good at puppets? Who's good at dancing? Who is maybe not from the United States, or maybe is biracial, or maybe speaks multiple languages? All of those things were a part of creating the cast lineup.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, Ida, let's talk about some of the characters now. You play, as I understand it, Abigail Adams, Florence Harding, Margaret Taylor, Jane Pierce, Mary Todd Lincoln, Angelica Van Buren, Pat Nixon among them. I wonder, did you find any commonalities across time and eras and these different people?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, other than them being first ladies, there seems to be this thread that continues with all of them, which is this gray area and this like sort of inner life or inner desires that they never got to, you know, speak to because of the role that they had to play, a role that is not ever defined as a role. You know, it's not a job they weren't elected to do it. It's by nature of who they are up against and their time period. And so I think just the continual having to define yourself or having to go against what is expected of you, but also not always being able to show that is really complicated in all of these different people, different women. So I think that is something that is really interesting and a commonality that I found was this sort of hidden inner life and thoughts. And I think that's what's exciting about this play, was that the playwrights got to sort of tackle that and get imaginative of like, well, what is this role? Like, what is this person? Who was Mary Lincoln? Who was Hoover? And sort of get to sort of like play with these things that we don't even get to because of how overlooked they are.
And you get to investigate, I guess, sort of women trying to wield political power in a patriarchal system over time. And I imagine that the characters reflect the changing women's changing role in society. We only have about 30 seconds left in our conversation, unfortunately. But I guess my question is, does the arc of the First Lady over time leave you more or less hopeful about the future?
Yeah, this question is one that we actually, as a cast, just speak as ourselves to towards the end of the show. No spoilers, but towards the end of the show,
okay,
is this idea of hope. And I think Hillary, who's one of the cast members, said something in that discussion that gets put into the piece at the end, which is feeling precious about where my hope goes these days and recognizing that the responsibility amidst history repeating itself over and over again, the responsibility I feel towards changing that and making something that feels a little different, that's actually different from what a lot of these women's lives looked like. So I think I feel hopeful watching the
And I'm afraid we're gonna have to leave it there. So that is Ida Cutler is a cast member, and Denise Yvette Cerna is director of 45 Plays for America's First Ladies. We'll have more information about that. You can stream it online through early November. You can find that on our website at 21stshow.org. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We will talk to you tomorrow.